I watched 2 movies this weekend, and I'm going to review both of them for you today. One, I'm going to give a little bit more of a look at for you in the way of a review. The other, I'm just going to kind of pass by. You'll understand as I get into this, but the movies, the first one that I'm going to talk about is Their Finest from BBC Films. I wasn't sure why I hadn't heard of Their Finest, probably because it never actually got an American release. And even its UK release came 2 years after it acquired distribution there. So it's odd, but this cast is everything good in the world. Gemma Arterton and Bill Nighy, who will join us in just a bit via Skype, are just excellent. Their Finest is really a movie within a movie about an aging British matinee idol played by Bill Nighy who thinks he's been given too small a role as the uncle of twin sisters. There's an American who's supposed to play a hero, but he is just dull as a stick. And this young woman, played by Gemma Arterton, who's in the script department, has this idea that might make the whole formula work for a wartime British drama that's supposed to lift spirits at home and warm hearts across the ocean. The wartime drama is centered around the role the twins play in rescuing soldiers from, wait for it, Dunkirk. Your hint about the second movie that I watched. But let's listen to a soundbite from the film Their Finest.
If we gave you an Uncle Frank really worth your time and your talent, I wonder if you would consider putting that same time and talent towards helping Mr. Lundbeck and the picture.
I don't think we've been properly introduced.
I'm Catherine Cole. I'm one of the writers.
Catherine, between us, we'll have them weeping in the aisles.
Of course, the second film I saw, as I mentioned, was Dunkirk from Christopher Nolan. And through advertising, we know a bit about Dunkirk, the film, if not the event itself, during kind of the pre-World War II stage run-up of the war. But the film, Dunkirk, begins in harrowing fashion as the first image on screen is at once bizarre and beautiful. A handful of British soldiers are walking in the French town of Dunkirk. The deserted streets are very apparent, and these scraps of paper flutter down from the sky. They're inscribed with the unnerving words, "We surround you." And as if to prove that, gunfire erupts. And I got to tell you, the gunfire that erupts is just absolutely startling at its very core. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But just know that the audio effects in this movie Dunkirk are just absolutely unbelievable. So back to this. Just quick description of the movie. When one soldier, this slender kid named Tommy, runs past sandbags to escape, he finds a scene even more bizarre. A beach with tens of thousands of British, Italian, French troops, Dutch, lined up, single file, right down to the water, trapped, awaiting rescue from an England so close it seems almost visible in the distance. Again, most of us here in the Not Old, Better audience are familiar with the role Dunkirk played pre-World War II, rescuing these 30,000 British soldiers, Italian soldiers, French troops. This was shot in full IMAX, and this new movie is excellent in every way. I watched Dunkirk in IMAX 2D, and I will tell you, the images are stunning. The story, again, familiar, but excellent, and the sound with effects is beyond compare. I've never seen a movie like this. But there have been tons of reviews of Dunkirk and Christopher Nolan and the images and audio spectacle, so I'm going to leave an extended review of Dunkirk to others. But again, it is excellent and worth seeing. But the other movie, Their Finest, is equally remarkable with some plot similarities to the film by Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk. First off, though, I watched Dunkirk at the theater by myself, and I watched Their Finest via iTunes streaming with Gretchen, my wife. Whether it's the all-male Dunkirk cast, or the fact that it's primarily a war movie, or the nature of the visual and audio effects, Gretchen didn't really want to go see Dunkirk at the theater. Gretchen hadn't heard of Their Finest, so I had to kind of pass along some of the word of mouth and other information to get her to bite. But after watching it together, both of us agree this is a fine, excellent movie and absolutely one to see. Whereas Dunkirk, the film, is just drown out, almost suffocating in parts, brilliant, but suffocating almost. Their Finest breathes deeply, giving pause for rest and thoughtful, clever dialogue, along with this brilliant story of a film studio serving the British War Ministry in 1940 London. This studio, its producers, writers, grips, and all personnel are in the film as propaganda business during the war, telling tales of British devotion to the cause. At one point, the war ministry official states, "We make movies that both entertain and improve morale," hence the propaganda. And this is important to Britain because the Blitz each night, you know, needs to have some morale improvement. Every night, the bombing forces Londoners to leave their homes, find shelter in the subway tubes, and bombs are dropping on the city, literally. Also importantly, during this war epoch, men are scarce. They're absent. They're off fighting the war themselves, leaving women home to rally, make bullets, and keep up spirits. Additionally, this all-male cast that I'm referring to in the focus of the Dunkirk film is in stark contrast to the role women actually play in the movie Their Finest. Women's opinions, influence, and sentiment are missing in film production of the day, and that need, plus this corresponding lack of males, means that despite rampant sexism in the workplace, women are multi-part necessary for success. Katrin Cole, played by the excellent Gemma Arterton, is then brought in to write the women's parts of their movies, with the previous experience of having filled in for a male writer on a single comic strip. She's therefore just qualified enough to be totally undervalued. But she ends up pitching the remarkable and secretly less than factually accurate story of these two young women, these twins, who steal their alcoholic father's boat to help in the same Dunkirk recovery mission Nolan took on in his film. See the commonality here? Okay, I'm sure you do. Arterton is just fantastic, and at any given scene or time in Their Finest, she is juggling brilliantly this new career as go-to female resource, as scriptwriter, plus she juggles all of these issues about the previously mentioned sexism in the workplace. She's juggling her artist husband, who has his own issues, and she's juggling this nightly bombing by Hitler's Luftwaffe aerial blitzes. Granted, this may sound like a feminist movie, but not to my feminist wife, Gretchen. Arterton is just marvelous, filled with grace and dignity in this role. And it's very apparent to me and to Gretchen that Katrin, again played by Gemma Arterton, has no intention of ever going back to her boxes, as she says, once the war is over. But the female content and dialogue in a movie is still referred to as the slop dialogue or drivel. The comedy of the film is sweet, and not an assault, but clever repartee and banter between the characters. The humor is definitely made all the more superb by the work from Bill Nighy. Nighy's droll, deliciously vain, aging movie star Ambrose Hilliard, and his, again, film-within-a-film, gloriously hammy character, the boozy Uncle Frank, is just hilarious. Let's listen to a scene from the film featuring Bill Nighy and Gemma Arterton.
That'll be the first clever thing April's ever done in her life. Do you see? So just a dash of humour, and then further
Excuse
along.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, no, no, no. It's just that the caption at the end's going to be, "He's not listening, but the enemy might be." It's a joke for women who think their husbands never pay attention. I wrote it, the scenario.
I'll be in my dressing room if anyone needs me.
Well, Gemma Arterton and Bill Nighy, they join us now via Skype from New York. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
The kind of films they make in this film were actually produced by the British film industry during World War II, weren't they?
Yes, that's correct. They made a lot of films during that period under very, very, as you can imagine, difficult circumstances in order to deliver certain information, but broadly speaking, to keep the country's spirits up during a savage, brutal time when they were bombarded daily by the German Air Force.
Yeah, and Ms. Arterton, technically they were propaganda, but I mean, I want it understood, not propaganda in the sense that German propaganda films were trying to conceal genocide, but propaganda in the sense that they had this political purpose, this message.
A lot of the films that we were looking at and the film that we are concentrating on in our film, there's a film within the film, they were all kind of geared towards women, and propaganda filmmaking at that time was quite interesting and pushing boundaries. People wanted to see things that made them feel like they were being understood and spoken to, and so films became actually quite naturalistic and kitchen sink drama-y.
And what was it that appealed to you about playing Catherine Cole, the young woman who becomes essentially recruited to be a screenwriter?
My character is based on a real person called Diana Morgan, who was a writer that was hired during the war to write the nausea, or the women's dialogue, for Ealing Studios, and she went on to write a lot of films for them. Anyway, so I found the character to be original. I hadn't read anything like that before. I didn't know anything about that period of filmmaking for women, and it's actually quite rare to read something about a female writer, especially a screenwriter.
Bill Nighy, tell us about your character, Ambrose.
He's a chronically self-absorbed, pompous actor in his declining years who's in almost perfect denial about how old he is. Everyone else in the world, apart from Ambrose Hilliard, is completely aware that he can no longer play romantic roles. The only person who has any doubt about that is Ambrose. And it has to be gently and not so gently explained to him that he can't play the leading man anymore. He's too old and he has to play drunken Uncle Frank. He warms up during the film.
Yeah, he winds up having a lot of dignity and sharing it with others.
And he's, in a good way, manipulated into that by Gemma's character, who's very smart, and she knows how to maneuver him into those positions. She very cleverly gives him the job of teaching the young American actor, who isn't an actor, he's a war hero, teaching him how to act, which is a brilliant stroke, because Ambrose is very flattered by that initially, and also and turns out he enjoys doing it. One of the redeeming factors about Ambrose is that he is actually quite serious about acting, not just in a sort of diva-ish status context, but acting as a thing. He has a genuine enthusiasm for it.
So I have to tell you, Mr. Nighy, you can make me laugh just by lifting your eyebrow.
Well, thank you very much. I wish there were more people like you. I didn't get comic calls for jobs until I was in middle age, really. And I did a movie that required me to be funny.
Yes. And oh my, Gemma Arterton, without tipping any plot points in their finest, people die in this film. And it's not always the ones you expect to die. And I guess that's the story, not only of war, but of life. Was that ever jarring when you were making the film?
It is set during the war and the Blitz, and people were dying all the time, and it was a reality. And, you know, this saying, keep calm and carry on, which is very associated with British people, I guess that's what they had to do back then. I think it's a British trait.
Bill Nighy?
He told me something quite interesting just before I came in to do this interview in this building by the water cooler, which is that the keep calm and carry on slogan, which has been revived in recent times in England, and there are tea towels and coffee mugs and whatever, when it was originally introduced in poster form during the Blitz, it was very quickly withdrawn because people were offended by it, because they felt patronized by it, because they were already doing that.
So in conclusion, let me try just one more thing. Bill Nighy, could you kind of over the phone via Skype raise an eyebrow?
I just did.
Goodbye. I am imagining it right now, and my laughter is totally 100% reflexive.
I'm going to raise that eyebrow more often.
Good. You got to let me know in advance, especially when we're on the phone like this. Well, Bill Nighy, Gemma Arterton, this film, their finest, is more than fine. It is fantastic. Thanks so much for being with us today on the Not Old Better Show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to our guests today, Bill Nighy and Gemma Arterton. This film, The Finest, is excellent. Dunkirk is excellent, too. As usual, we'll post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable. I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave it at iTunes, Google Play, or send me an email at info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we discuss the subject of using new technology for genealogy research. This is a show you'll not want to miss. Remember, contact information for feedback and ideas, info@notold-better.com, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and notold-better.com. Talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all.